Before my time gets away, this is Sunday morning, the 14th of September, 2025. And I am so glad to see you here today. We're going to finish out the lesson that we started last week. Didn't get to finish up last week. We're looking at Nehemiah chapter number 8. And this lesson is entitled, God's Word is Powerful. God's Word is Powerful. Now, last Sunday, we began here in Nehemiah chapter number 8, and we got down into the lesson. We looked at how Nehemiah recognized the Scriptures as God's holy word. We saw that. That was verses 1 through 8 in the book of Nehemiah. Then we saw how Nehemiah supported the desires of the people in hearing the word of God. They were excited to hear the word of God being taught and being made to be understandable unto them. And we looked at those verses. Then we got down to where Nehemiah himself listened attentively to the word of God. And that was in verses 3 through 8. We saw that last week. So we got down today. This is where we're going to start today in section number 2. Point number 2 of how Nehemiah challenged the people to properly and obediently respond to God's word. Now, you folks know of the tragedy we had in our country this week. Brother Charlie Kirk, gunned down, you know, for truth. That's basically what it gets down to. Folks don't like truth today. But you know what? It has stirred the hearts of people. And even in the midst of tragedy, there are people responding to the Word of God that His ministry taught and His ministry tried to provide to those who needed to know truth. And folks, let me tell you something. It is important how you and I respond to God's Word so that other people can also have the opportunity to respond properly and obediently to the Word of God. I thank the Lord. I cannot tell you how many times I heard the gospel as a young boy. I came to Vacation Bible School, and I never will forget the preacher, Danny Pryor, stood up there, and he preached the Word of God and said, if you are a young person and you need to be saved, you need to come forward. And I was so backward, and I was so shy, and I had told everybody. I told everybody I was already saved, but I knew in my heart I was not saved. And I remember holding the back of that pew, just my heart beating so fast, and I knew the Spirit of God was dealing my heart, and I did not respond properly as I should have. And I thank the Lord. Man, I praise Him that He gave me another opportunity. Amen. And you know what? Many of you could say the same thing today. How many opportunities have we been given to serve the Lord, to obediently respond to God's Word when we hear it taught to us and we know that God is speaking to our hearts and we don't respond the way we ought to? We know what? Nehemiah challenged the people to respond properly and obediently. And this is important, folks. It is important that when we hear the Word of God being taught and we understand what God is saying to us, that we obediently and quickly respond, because we don't know when our last opportunity to do something for God will be. Man, He's getting ready to answer questions. He's getting ready to talk to those young people. He had just given the gospel, the presentation of the gospel to folks, and His life is snuffed out in just a moment of time. And folks, you and I could be the very same way today. We could have a heart attack. We could be in a car accident. Anything could happen. So I want to challenge you today. I want to encourage you today to be willing to respond to God when He is speaking to your heart. I've said this before and I'll say it again. A man told me one time, an old preacher told me one time, he said, there's two times in this life, two times that you need to remember about response to God and going to the altar and getting things right with God. He said, you go to the altar when the Holy Spirit of God is dealing with your heart about something, and you give it to God. And I said, well, what is the second time? He said, you go to that altar and you surrender to God when the Holy Spirit is not dealing with your heart. Because, buddy, that could be a sign of something bad. You know what? We turn away the Spirit of God. We push Him aside and we say, Lord, I don't have time for You today. And one day, God may just say, well, you know what? You didn't have time to serve Me. You didn't have time to commit to Me. So I'm going to get somebody else. And you know what? That's what influenced my heart to finally answer God's call to preach. I did not want to be put up on the shelf of do nothing, as I've seen many people do. Many Christians said, oh, they love the Lord. I had a man in North Carolina. We lived there. He was a member of our church, good man, did all kinds of things to help out around the church. And he was telling me how he went to, at that time, Piedmont Bible College was a good college, all right? And it was worthy of going to and learning how to go out and do things for God. It's not that way today. And folks, he told me, he said, I'm going to tell you something, Brother Ray, you probably don't know. I said, what is that? He said, I went to Piedmont Bible College and graduated. I said, really? You went to Piedmont Bible College? I said, what did you go for? And he said, I went to be a missionary. I said, I didn't know you went to the mission field. I didn't have an idea about that. He said, I didn't. I said, what? I don't understand. He said, just because God calls you to do something doesn't mean you have to do it. And I thought, boy, that's not a good thing to say. You know what? That's called disobedience. Willful disobedience. And you know what? I got to thinking, man, I wonder how much God could have used him in a special way had he just been willing to go. Now, maybe God's dealing with your heart today about something. I don't know. Maybe God has spoken to your heart in time past with pastor preaching. Maybe it's just in just being faithful every week. Maybe it's just in joining the church or joining one of these ministries. I've listed several ministries in our bulletin today that you could get to be a part of, okay? There are many things that you can do for God, but you need to be willing to say, here am I, Lord, send me. I'll be willing to do it. Here, an invitation and a challenge was given unto the people. Now, I want you to look here at verses 9 through 12 of Nehemiah chapter number 8. Look at this with me today. Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 9 through 12. And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, that's the governor, that's the word for the governor, and Ezra, the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. You know what? They wept because they were convicted. They wept because they knew that they had disobeyed God. They wept because they had realized their shortcomings with God. And folks, listen to me. Many times we weep, we realize, we understand how short we have come in doing what we ought to do for God. And you know what? Listen, tears come from that heart that has been broken. And you know what? God says He loves and He will work with a broken and contrite heart. That's what God wants. He wants us to be broken. Why? Because God loves to fix broken things. Amen? He'll fix them and He'll use them for His honor and for His glory. And look what the Bible said. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto your Lord. Neither be ye sorry. Listen to this. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen? Amen. The joy of the Lord is your strength. I don't ever want to lose the joy of my salvation. Amen? I want folks to know, bro, I may be going through some of the worst days of my life. But you know what? When you call me or you see me and you ask me, Brother Ray, how's it going today? I'm going to I try to always answer you the same way. Saved by grace. Amen? Amen. Or I'll tell you something like this. I'm so saved, the devil can't stand it. Amen? Amen. And he can't stand it. And I love it. Amen? Because it just aggravates him to death. And I love to aggravate the devil. Amen. He aggravates me all the time. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, hold your peace, for the day is holy, neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions to make great mirth, because they had what? Understood the words that were declared unto them. They just didn't go themselves and have joy, but the Bible said here they sent portions to other people that couldn't be there. Now let me ask you something. When's the last time you gave away a portion of your joy for the Lord to somebody? Amen? Man, you need to share the joy of the Lord with somebody today. Listen, I got some little boys and little girls, and I don't have it here in front of me. Let me see if I got it here. I don't know if I got it. No, I got it laid on my desk in there. Every Sunday morning or night, some of these young people will come up to me and give me a picture they've drawn of me. Now, they're not very pretty, okay? They're truthful, but they're not pretty, okay? But you know what? They have given me that picture, and they said, Pastor Ray, we drew a picture of you today. And I said, really? And evidently, it's when I'm standing up here giving testimony on Sunday night or something like that. And it's me standing behind the pulpit, and I got eyes bulging and glasses over here and one or two hairs pointing this way and that way. But you know what? They'll write a little note on there, and we say, we love you. And you know what? It's because we've gone to visit with them. We've gone to visit with their parents. Their parents are coming to church. Their parents have gotten saved. Their parents are living right for God. Some of them were taken out on soul winning visitation on Thursday nights and trying to encourage them about doing things for God. And the children have taken note of that. And you know what? They're sharing their joy through that little picture. And you know what? I wouldn't trade that for anything. I wouldn't trade that for a pile of lima beans. I just wouldn't trade it. My wife picked lima beans last night out of our little greenhouse. We were so excited. Didn't get but a handful, but man, they're going to be good. Amen. But you know what? They shared the joy of the Lord with other folks. And folks, that's what our job is today. As Christians, we need to share the joy of the Lord. As the hearts of these people had been convicted of their past sins, he now challenged them. He challenged them. He said, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, go your way. Eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. I'm thankful for that today. Man, they mourned, they wept because they remembered the celebrations unto God that they've forgotten about. They were reminded about those things. Remember the things that they did last time, the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement. All of these were celebrations that God had given them to do, not to be something special, but because God had done something special for them. Amen? Listen, you need to remember, never forget what God has done for you. And folks, that's where our problem is in this world today. Our world has forgotten what God has done for us. And I think it's because we as Christians have not shared the joy of the Lord of our salvation. And we need to go out and do that. And then, look at verse 13 through 18. The people here demonstrated a willingness to obey. Now, the Levites told them, cheer up. Don't mourn. Don't weep. Man, thank God for what he's done for you. Give him rejoicing today. Praise his name. Rejoice and share it with somebody else. Look at what the Bible said. These people observed what God said do. But they also demonstrated their ongoing witness or their willingness to obey the Lord on a day-to-day basis. You know what? I've had folks tell me, preacher, I don't go on Thursday nights because Thursday night's not a good day for me to go visiting. Well, I understand. Everybody's got different schedules. But that's why God made 7 days during the week. Because we can go anytime, anywhere, and give out the gospel. We can go. I picked up Ruth yesterday at Dulles Airport. We drove down to Dulles Airport. We stopped at Golden Corral in Frederick. Oh, what a blessing. Oh, my goodness, what a blessing. One payment, eat as much as you want. Amen. And, buddy, we feasted yesterday. Oh, my soul, we feasted. I wish they'd build one of those up here. Man, I tell you what. Tear down Popeyes and build me a Golden Corral. Amen. Or a Bojangles. Okay. Man, it was good. But these folks were encouraged to give gratitude, give praise unto God on a day-to-day basis. You know what? Living a Christian life is just not something you do on Sunday. It's on Monday. It's on Tuesday. It's on Wednesday. Wednesday is hump day, okay? And you look at the other side going down the hill. It's good on Thursday. It's good on Friday. It's good on Saturday. And you start again on Sunday. Amen. They had a willingness. And because on the next day, the Bible says that the head of every household met with Ezra and the other Levites so that they could hear more of the word of God and then teach it to their families. Look at verse 13. And on the second day, were gathered together the chief of the fathers of all the people, the priests and the Levites, unto Ezra the scribe, even to understand the words of the law. And they found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month, and that they should publish and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, go forth unto the mount and fetch olive branches and pine branches and myrtle branches and palm branches and branches of thick trees to make booths as it is written. So the people went forth and brought them and made themselves booths, every one upon the roof of his house and in their courts and in the courts of the house of God, and in the street of the water gate, and in the street of the gate of Ephraim, and all the congregation of them that were come again out of the captivity made booths and sat under the booths. For since the days of Joshua the son of Nun unto that day had not the children of Israel done so, since they had been delivered. They had not done this. Now think about this just a minute, folks. All those years of missed blessings, all those years of weeping because of willful disobedience, it could have been changed had they just been willing to trust and obey the Word of God. And now that Ezra had preached the Word of God to them, they were brought under conviction. Their hearts were stirred, and they realized what they had done wrong. And they said, you know what? We're going to go back, and we're going to do what God said do. We're going to teach our families. Listen to this. These chief people, these chief men came unto Ezra. They came, and they said, teach us more so we can go back and teach our families, our children. And folks, I want to be honest with you today. That's where our country today, our world is missing today. Some godly leadership in the homes today. Man, we need some daddies to stand up and say, this is what we're going to do for God. We're going to serve Him. We're never going to forget what God has done for us. And that's what Nehemiah taught here. And then look at what the Bible said. And all the congregation of them that were come again out of the captivity made booths and sat under the booths. For since the days of Joshua, the son of Nun, unto that day had not the children of Israel done so. And there was very great gladness. Why was there gladness? Why was there gladness? Because they realized that the joy of the Lord came from not only hearing the word of God preached, but being willing to obey the word of God as it was preached. Amen. You know what? That's where the joy today comes from. Why do you think our pastor stands every time and he reminds us, get in the book and let the book get in you? Man, that's what brings the joy today. And the Bible said, and there was very great gladness. Now look at this. Also, look at this. Day by day. Not just on Sunday. Not just on Sunday morning. Not just on Sunday night. Not just on Wednesday night or whenever the church was open. But every day, day by day, from the first day unto the last day, he read in the book of the law of God. Folks, you know what that tells me? This book, they used to call it down south, we called it soul food. Food for the soul. And you get it every day. Listen, how many of you can go several days without eating anything? Some of you can't go a couple hours without eating anything, okay? Do you know what? This is the food that we need more than anything. And they learned that day by day, as they got into the Word of God, and the Word of God got into them, that it made a difference in their lives. Why? Because God's Word is powerful. It stirs up a longing in your heart. Look what has happened this week alone with this assassination and one man being taken out for the cause of Christ, for truth's sake. But look how many people's hearts have been stirred to stand up and say, you know what? I'm not ashamed anymore. I'm going to stand for truth and for righteousness the way I ought to be standing. And folks, listen to me. One greater than Charlie Kirk died for you and for me some 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary. And as he hung there upon that cross, and the people looked up at him and said, come on down if you're the Son of God. We'll believe you then if you'll come down. And they just mocked and laughed. But folks, you listen to me. He raised the dead. He caused the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the dumb to speak, the lame to walk. He cured all kinds of diseases, all of those miracles that he did. And yet the greatest miracle of all was that the poor had the gospel preached unto them. They had the gospel preached unto him. And when they railed on him, you know what he did? He looked up to his father and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know what? I didn't realize I was rejecting him when I mocked and made fun of him, used his name in vain. Neither did you. But you know what? Now that we've been saved, because he died for me, I can live and share the gospel, and I can tell others. Because he died for me, I can now live for him, and so can you. Amen? That's what happened here. Look at this. And they kept the feast 7 days. And on the eighth day was a solemn assembly according unto the manner. Wow, think about it. The power of the Word of God. When the people of God were first willing to hear it and also willing to obey it. Now, folks, let me ask you this. I want to just ask this question. How important is the Word of God in your life today? How important is it? You know what? We need to get in the Word of God and allow the Word of God to get in us. And then we need to be willing to share that. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength today. Let the joy of the Lord. Listen, every one of us has got issues and problems and heartaches and trials and things that are hitting us left and right. Everywhere we turn around, we got problems happening. But the joy of the Lord is my strength to go on and serve Him and share it with other people. America needs a revival. But it has to start among those who call themselves children of God. Those of us who say we are Christians. But you know what? It's sad to say this, and I hate to say this. But unless you and I, as God's children, see our need individually for a renewed spirit of revival, it'll never happen. If all we want to do is sit around and talk about how bad politics are, or how high the interest rates are, or how high the gas prices are, or why, because on day one, President Trump said grocery bills are going to come down, and they still have gone up. You know what? We got to quit talking about those things. And remember that God's word said that before Jesus comes back, it's going to get that way. And all the things that we're seeing are coming to place. Everything is just falling in place. And we don't know when the Lord is going to be sending His Son Jesus into this world and say, hey, get my children, bring them home. I'm going to send my wrath down. We need to get busy for God. We need to see the individual need to stay revived today. And if we don't see that, we're not going to have revival. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 10, verses 14 through 17. I want you to listen to what he said. The Bible said in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That is a promise from God. Whoever you are. I made those little stickers for our nursing home. Or my wife fixed them up on her Cricut machine. And it's a peel and stick label. And it says, I'm a whosoever. It's got a big smiley face on it. And I gave them all one as I was preaching last week. I'm a whosoever. You are a whosoever. But there are a lot more whosoevers out there that need to hear the gospel. Now listen to what Paul wrote in chapter 10, verse 14 through 17. He said, even though whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, he said, how then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? Folks, do you realize there are people right here in Westminster, Maryland, that have never heard a full presentation of the gospel? Never heard. We meet them every week. Every week we meet them. They've never heard. Why? Because somebody hadn't gone and told them. That's our job. Listen to what he said. And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And you say, well, see there, I told you it's a preacher's job to do that. That word preacher comes from a word that means a declarer, a herald, someone, anyone who is willing to tell the good news. Jesus saves, Jesus saves, and just share it with everybody. They need to hear some declarers. And how shall they preach except they be sent? Well, if we read the Word of God, He's already sent us, has He not? He's told us to go. The Bible said here, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they've not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Folks, the Word of God is powerful today. But here's the issue. There needs to be some declarers. Oh, preacher, you just don't understand what I'm going through today. I've got so much going on. The joy of the Lord will be your strength. The joy of your salvation needs to be shared with somebody else. You know what? We have all these different ministries in this church for one purpose. And what is that purpose? It is to get the gospel to those who need to hear it. Why? Because whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, let's look at this thing today and consider the fact, the power of God's holy word. Let's take it and declare it everywhere we go today. All right, let's pray. Father, Lord, I love you today. And I thank you, God, so much for the privilege that we've been given. Lord, not only to hear the word of God, but Lord, to be able to obey the word of God and to share it with those around us. Please, oh God, help us, Lord, today to be willing to do that which only born-again children of God can do. And that is to share the good news of the gospel. And to tell folks everywhere about the goodness of God and to see folks saved. Please, Lord, speak to our hearts. Bring revival into this nation. Lord, bring it through me. Bring it through every individual in this class. And Father, we'll thank you, God, for what you do. Bless our pastor now as he stands to preach. And we'll thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Love you today. Thank you for being in Sunday school class. Sign up if you can, if you'd like to be a help.